You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. Thanks for tuning in. I am joined by the birthday boy, Jordan Bastian. JB, how old are you today?
I'm as old as Jesus, 33.
Wow. He accomplished much more than you in his
33
years.
Yes,
you're doing
did.
Very well.
You know, that's
buddy.
Fine.
And, what's that?
I said, that's fine. I will let you, you know, he has a pretty good legacy. I don't need to mess with that.
I'm sure that on your birthday / off day, you could think of nothing better than to join the podcastro and talk a little tribe with me. I appreciate that. There's a lot to talk about with the Indians here in the last 2 weeks of the season. Still mathematically alive for the AL wild card. You must keep hope alive. At the very least, they can ruin Minnesota's season. Big series in the Twin Cities this week. Seven more games against those guys. But, you know, I know from the tribe's perspective, it's been hard to take it too seriously for a while now. But when you go into the last 2 weeks with a still mathematical chance. In fact, Baseball's Prospectus has given the Indians a better chance than the Twins, even though they're a game behind them. How much scoreboard watching is taking place in that tribe clubhouse right now, if at all?
You know, I think it sounds cliche, but I think what's been so important for this team over the last 2-3 months is the fact that they really have kind of put on that horse blinder mentality and, you know, taking it day by day. I mean, honestly, earlier this year, I think some of the guys in that room were a bit overwhelmed by the hole that they had dug. And I think there was some looking ahead to the fact that, oh, no, you know, we're already kind of looking towards 2016. And I think there was some stress from some of the players that were in there. And, you know, they got some fresh blood in that clubhouse and some young players and some other guys acquired via trade. And, you know, as we've talked about in the past, I think there's something to be said for when you bring in guys who weren't here for those first 2 months, you know, they don't have that in the back of their mind about how bad it was. You know, so for them, you know, they've really only experienced, you know, a good chunk of this team has only experienced kind of this strong run since the trade deadline. And I think that goes a long way. And you have some of the leaders in there, Brantley, Gomes, Kipnis, Kluber, guys that can really assert themselves as the quote-unquote veteran leaders now, even though some of them don't have a ton of years in the big leagues under their belt. But I think that combination and kind of that horse blinder mentality that Terry Francona really preaches, I think that's been really important for them. And we've said it all along in the last 2 months as we've talked about this, let's just see if they can get back to .500 and then start looking at it. And I think they kind of took that same approach. And, well, they've hit .500 a few times. Now they're trying to get over that hurdle and make a run here in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, there's been a bit of an invisible wall, I guess, when it comes to getting over the .500 mark. But a good opportunity to do that in Minnesota against a Twins team that's basically been struggling this month. I believe 9-10 in the month of December going into that series. They've, of course, hung around the wild card just because all you got to do is be around .500 to be in that wild card race still. But, yeah, it would certainly this is kind of it for the Indians. They take care of business this series. You still take them seriously. They get swept or lose this series. You know, it would be hard to take them seriously. But you mentioned the young blood, the fresh blood, and we talk about this guy just about every week, but Francisco Lindor, you know, for my money, JB, you look at – I don't just look at wins above replacement, but I also – kind of consider the storyline that the Indians are still relevant. Of course, the Astros are still relevant as well, but I think there's been more surrounding Carlos Correa since his call-up. I think Lindor is the Rookie of the Year favorite as of this moment. What do you think?
Yeah, I kind of lean that way too. And kind of like you said, I was talking to a veteran writer recently about this, and you know, he was kind of leaning towards Correa. And you know, the initial reaction was that, well, Houston, you know, is a playoff team right now. It's well. I mean, if the Indians finish 2-3 back of the Astros in the wild card race, when it's all said and done, I mean, does 2-3 games really sway a Rookie of the Year vote? You know, for two guys that didn't join the team since June, their respective teams. And I think even if you throw out the numbers, you know, at the point when Correa joined the Astros, you know, I think they were still in a pretty good position. When Lindor joined the Indians, we were thinking they're pulling the plug on this year and looking towards 2016 in the future and want to see what they have and looking for any kind of spark And we weren't really taking the team seriously as a potential playoff contender for this season. You know, so I think the impact that Lindor has had on his team since his call-up has been huge. And again, you and I kind of have that benefit of having watched it in person every day and being in the clubhouse and seeing what this kid has brought in terms of his energy and kind of being infectious to the players around him. You know, that's been very apparent since he's been up here. And then beyond that, then you look at the numbers, and I think they're pretty close. They're different style of offensive hitters.
Right.
Lindor seems to be a little bit more all-around offense. Correa obviously has the power numbers in part of his game. And then you look at the defense, and Lindor ranks above him there as well right now, and Lindor ranks one of the best shortstops in baseball right now. So I think I'm kind of leaning towards Lindor. Again, you kind of have that benefit of seeing him every day and seeing the impact he has, but I think the impact is real, and I think that's one of the main reasons the Indians are where they are.
I think it's definitely real. I think he's helped this team just kind of lighten up in general. And you know, I think Correa will have the better career in that, you know, I think he'll be in line for more MVP honors in his career just as a function of the power. I think he'll eventually move off the shortstop position. I think Lindor will be the long-term better shortstop. They're both going to have exceptional careers. It's kind of a fun debate, too. And they both grew up near each other in Puerto Rico. Just a lot of layers to that conversation that I like. Pretty cool conversation to have here in the last couple of weeks. Trevor Bauer, not so hot. He gets moved to the bullpen. I don't know, JB, you think this is a kind of a wake-up call for him? Because it just seems like his patterns, as far as repertoire patterns or location patterns, just aren't really working at this level on a consistent basis.
Well, I think what they've seen is, like, you look at a guy like Cody Anderson, who isn't going to blow you away, kind of a three-pitch pitcher, pounds the strike zone. And when he's having an off night, he's still been able to give them, you know, five-plus innings. Even Josh Tomlin, kind of similar mold. You know, even if he's having, you know, not his best day like he did the other day, you know, he still gives them 5 2/3, you know, kind of guts it out. When Bauer has had an off night, he's given them an inning and 2/3, 3 innings, and they've had to get him out of there to try to apply the tourniquet, you know, and then thank God it's September with as big of a bullpen that you have, you can kind of try and hold the fort down. It's been either really good or really bad, and there's not been that middle ground. And I think that was kind of the turning point right now, that when you have two guys in Anderson and Tomlin, who are doing what they're doing so well right now. You have Kluber coming back. Carrasco's off the DL. You obviously have Salazar still there. So you have a five-man staff for a team that is trying to win as many games as it can in a shorter period of time. You've got to prioritize trying to get quality starts. And Bauer has just been too enigmatic when he's taken the mound. You just don't know what you're going to get. And I think that's what kind of spawned this move. I don't think it's the Indians view him as a reliever. I think it's the Indians really need to win as many games as they can, and right now he's not putting them in the best position. So maybe it's they skip him one turn and he makes a start down the stretch. Francona's pretty clear that he thinks he will start again this season. But right now, like I said, it's kind of the sense of urgency is there, and I think that's what created the move.
Yeah, long term, I'm sure they'll exhaust every option with him in the rotation going into 2016 and beyond, just because that's what you have to do sometimes with young pitchers. But you're right, there is an immediacy to this situation. And Tomlin, man, you know, he's worked himself into a good situation for 2016, the way he's pitched here down the stretch. And he's obviously helped his club. 2.43 ERA, 52 strikeouts in 55 and 2/3 innings. Gotta like the little cowboy right now, huh?
Yeah. It's been impressive. The walk rate is tremendous. One of the best walk percentages in baseball for, you know, all pitchers. If you go with the minimum 50 inning limit there, I think he's right near the top. And what's been surprising has been the strikeout rate as well to go along with that. You know, we saw that a little bit when he came back from Tommy John. We saw the strikeout rate was heightened from where it was earlier in his career. And we're seeing the same thing now. But he looks, I mean, when he came back from Tommy John, it looked like there was still some issues with getting the feel for it. You know, he obviously had the shoulder issue again earlier this year. He had time to rehab that, and he's healthy now and showing kind of what he can be. And Tomlin, to me, just looks like that type of pitcher where, because of where the velocity has always been and because of the type of command he has, this is a guy that could turn into a pitcher who has a long career based on just becoming smarter as a pitcher, and maintaining the type of stuff that he's always had. You know, I think that's what we're seeing right now is a guy that, while he hasn't, you know, he's missed a lot of time with injury, you know, he's getting older, he's kind of becoming a veteran guy, and he has that veteran presence about him on the mound in the way he pitches. I think that's what kind of also lends itself to the strikeouts. The curveball's been great, you know, along those lines. And, yeah, I mean, this is a guy that, you know, now you start to look ahead towards next year, and, you know, if you can look at those front four, you know, and as strong and how much potential in the youth there, and then you also have this sort of crafty pitcher to put towards the end who can give you these types of outings, it's a great situation for them to be in.
All right, there you have it from 33-year-old Jordan Bastian. I want to thank him for joining us on his birthday. Hey, JB, since I'm not in the Wahoo Football League anymore, I need to get my updates on this podcast. Who's the team to beat here in the early going, the Wahoo Football League?
Oh, man, Jensen Lewis is taking me to the woodshed this week, and I believe he's going to be 2-0. So, you know, you got to look out for Jensen. And obviously Jim Burtis from Indians Baseball Insider, I believe, is doing pretty well. And, yeah, I'm struggling. I'm 0-2, but, you know, there's been a couple of 0-2 teams in the WFL's history who have reached the title game, so I have hope.
You have hope, just as the Indians do, and you're the commissioner of that league, so you can always rig things in your favor.
Yeah, I can always, like, change the waiver rules halfway through the season or something.
Yeah, that's been known to happen. That's we won't get into that on the podcast. That's one reason I'm not in the Wahoo Football League anymore. Anyway, I want to thank Jordan Bastian for joining us. Thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.